Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast.
Hot stuff.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is Thursday, February 14th, and I have with me today a special guest. Have you ever been at a Cal Poly game or a Cal Poly football game or a basketball game or a Mission Prep basketball game and heard the voice coming out of the speakers and wondered and wondered who that voice was? It's Mike Moreno, a.k.a. Big Scoop, and we have Mike with us in studio today. How's it going, Mike?
It's going well. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, absolutely. And it is the 14th. And for people who don't know kind of who you are, you were just kind of giving me a little bit of a breakdown a second ago.
Sure.
You work in radio, but you're at Cal Poly too, and you're at Mission. Can you kind of like list off all the stuff you do locally with either radio or sports?
Well, right now, what's happening? I'm doing a long time public address announcer for Cal Poly. That's been going since like 1995, and been about 4 years as the public address announce voice for Mission Prep boys and girls basketball.
Yep.
And an occasional football game if I have a chance. But Friday nights during the high school football season have been occupied with either Paso Robles High School and most recently on KZOZ at Rio Grande High School.
Got it. And you're not doing PA for those high schools. You're on the radio.
I'm doing the play-by-play. Yes.
Great. And that's on KZOZ and also on...
KZOZ and online.
And online, okay.
But we're just did our first year. I'm glad to get the Eagles back on the radio. And the community has just really been excited down there that they're back on and they can listen to them online or on the radio. It's great.
Yeah, the AG community seems pretty excited about that kind of thing. I was fortunate enough to do a few basketball games this year, color commentary, kind of as a guest color guy for Waz, and that was a really good time, and also for Dave Grant for one game. So I really do enjoy high school sports, and it's something that you've been doing for a long time in the county, right?
For a long time, yeah. I started with Paso Robles back in 1995, just doing your position, the color guy. They call him like the number two guy in the booth.
Right.
And started out doing that, and then I had a chance to become the play-by-play guy for Rio Grande on the old, what's now ESPN, AM 1280. Back then it was KCAL.
Okay.
And primarily a sports station, but we did Rio Grande High School, and I did a couple years for the Eagles, and they won championships, and there was another opportunity to go back up to Paso and be their play-by-play guy, so I went up and did that, and caught on two more championships.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
You've been kind of all over. Talk about the development of high school football around here. I'm a kid of the late 90s, played high school football here in like the late 90s up in Cambria. Having seen kind of the progression of how high school football is, how would you characterize I feel like there's a lot more emphasis on kind of year-round football with passing.
Oh, absolutely.
Tournaments and things like that all the whole year.
Their summer is really occupied even before they get into their mandatory practices for the upcoming season. They're really late into spring and all through summer, the passing leagues, passing tournaments, and the evaluation process for these players begins when they're really young.
Yeah,
it's almost like a recruiting kind of thing with these young kids.
Do you think that's a good thing? I mean, it is for a lot of the programs, I would imagine, but like, I also have some other questions like as to whether it's a good thing to be that kind of focused on one sport from even so young, even in like early in high school.
Well, I know that the a lot of folks would prefer their students or their children to be a multi-sport athlete, and I'm sure to some extent they are, but you're going to excel in one sport or the other, and if it happens to be football, well, there's a great opportunity as a young kid to develop your game in front of those who are going to be coaching you at an older, when you become a high schooler.
Right.
And even with basketball, all the little travel teams and, yeah. and those guys, there's a good focus on those players.
Yeah.
And by the time those players are done with a given season, the coaches at the upper level, at the high school level, are going to know that, wow, this guy is showing some promise.
This guy's coming up.
We're going to keep an eye on him, and he might be a great addition. But there's no pressure on the kid to actually play that sport. But if they're excelling, that must mean they like it.
Do you think being in a smaller community kind of allows kids to do more? I know, like, in a really small high school, you know, you kind of have to do everything if you're talking about a smaller school. But even a place like SLO or AG or wherever, if you're an athlete, it seems like you would be asked to, or kind of, like you said, kind of recruited to play kind of other sports around.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of coaches there that see a kid excel on the football field and say, wow, I'd really like to have him on the maybe the wrestling team or basketball.
Yeah.
I know. My first stint there with the Royal Grande, there was a host of players that were on the basketball team.
Uh-huh.
But in the 2 years that I worked with AG, they were playing into middle of December for the football season.
Yep. Yep.
So they missed a bunch of basketball games just because of their football. But boy, they were welcomed back onto the basketball court because the coaches knew these kids are going to produce.
Yeah, my senior year of high school at Coast Union, we won CIF in basketball. And so we went to the state playoffs. And we played, into March? But then the baseball season is really screwed because, you lose your last basketball game and literally 2 days later, you're in a baseball game, which is the fifth game of the year for everybody else, let alone like whatever else. And I hadn't been even swinging a bat. So it's like, you're going into the lineup the next day. And it's a rude awakening, especially in a sport like baseball.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's a kind of a double-edged sort of success at at kind of schools that depend on multi-sport athletes.
Sure.
Here with Mike Moreno, the multifaceted radio and public address guy for Cal Poly, and does high school football on the radio on KZOZ, and also you can find him doing sports on Q104.5. Is that right?
I play the music. On
Q104.5.
Every now and then, back in 1990. I started working in radio here in 1988 at a little station up in Cambria. You're probably familiar with it, K-Otter.
K-Otter, yeah.
That was the little station that could.
Yeah.
I started out getting paid in CDs.
Yeah.
And my CD collection grew from 16 to well over 1,000. And then they got legit, where we all started getting paychecks. And then the sports guy, Bob Witte, left and moved to Idaho.
Yeah, I knew the Wittes. They're from Cayucas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Honey
and Bob.
Yeah.
They moved to Idaho. And so a position opened up for the sports cast. So the Witte Word on Sports moved out of state, and then the Big Scoop on Sports moved in.
Okay.
And Bruce Howard's Joy, asked me one day, what are you going to call your sports cast? And so I just, there's a lot of couches there in the studios. I was sitting down, relaxing, and how about the Big Scoop on Sports? So it kind of stuck, and 16 years later, I was still doing it. And so that kind of stuck, and that kind of opened a lot of doors into getting into the public address announcing and the play-by-play. So that was, I was real fortunate that Bob and Honey decided to move to Idaho, and I got a shot.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And it's a small world in SLO County, right? Especially on the North Coast.
Yeah.
Are you from around here? Are you from originally?
I grew up and born in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're a Santa Barbara guy, and you moved here in the 90s?
Moved up here in 1988.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was went to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
I did a little broadcast school up there and managed the second store that Eddie Bauer ever opened there in Union Square. And that was a lot of fun. And I was up there for about 4 years. Worked at KMEL. It had just turned from a rock and roll station to like a top 40 station. So they had a big issue with me every time I answered the phone. I would say Camel 106. And they kept coming and going, no, we're KMEL. So I kind of got the branding ideas right away. Say, okay, you got to get this right or they're going to show you the door. And they showed me the door. So that's how it worked out.
Yeah. All for the best.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. I went back to Santa Barbara and worked at KTMS and Y97. And my brother was a commercial fisherman and he needed a deckhand.
Yeah.
So I said, I haven't seen my brother in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So let's come up here.
Yeah.
So I came up
Make
here and that was 1988 and here I am.
Awesome. Awesome. Tell me, when you're doing the public address, it seems like I mean, you're working in the football games. It is.
There's a lot going on.
It is, and soccer even, you know, trying to figure out the substitutions and doing everything else at Spanos there. And basketball, too. You know, you have things to read. It seems to me that doing that while you're around a sport doesn't really allow you to enjoy that sport as completely as you might if you were sitting in the stands or just kind of sitting off to the side like I am, just kind of taking it all in. Is that accurate?
Exactly. When you're working, it may not seem like work to a lot of folks watching.
Sure.
But it is. It's you can't cheer. You can't root for anybody. Back when I was the sports director at K-Otter, I had media credentials with all the professional teams up and down California. So you go to a 49ers game, and if I was dumb enough to wear something red and gold up into the press box, they'd ask you to leave.
Totally.
Because you're assumed that you have a rooting interest, and you have to be as neutral as possible.
Yeah, I don't wear green to Cal Poly games for that reason.
Well, there you
try
go.
Not to.
So I've been kind of just used to not rooting. You cheer from inside.
Right.
And then you can kind of hear my inflection go up and down when something big happens on the basketball court.
Sure.
And that's just me. But that's a little cheer coming out of me.
But that's like pretty normal for PA and basketball games.
Sure.
And, I was at a high school basketball game in Colorado, a small school game. And you know, the guy, he's like as monotonous as possible for the opposite team. You know, just kind of like saying the names. And then, you know, he gets pumped for the home team. And that's a normal thing, whatever level you're talking about.
Sure.
I think, you know, NBA, whatever. I mean, that's something that's normal. The other thing that he did that I was talking to J.D. Scroggin about, because it's something that you do too, when you announce the coaches' names.
Mm-hmm.
And the head coaches.
Yeah.
and the quick one, and this guy in Colorado did it too, and I really get a kick out of it. I know JD's mentioned it to me before, so I went and told him about it. I was like, Big Scoop's not the only one who does it that way.
And I have to get the names right too, and that's
how hard is that?
It's as hard as I make it, because sometimes my writing resembles a prescription.
Okay,
going to the pharmacy, and it's tough, I messed up the guy's name there from, it was his, I said Tim, but it was Jim, the coach from Davis. and you know, fortunately, in that moment, he probably didn't even notice it.
Well, and like a sound like the T or the J sound, like that's probably,
I tried to 50-50
in the scheme of things.
When I saw, because I'm always reading ahead. I have about three or four words that I've already read before I speak them.
Right.
And I saw that, and I said, oh, my God, what is that, a T or a J? So I just 50-50'd it, and
awesome.
I guess it worked.
That's awesome. Did you catch what happened at the Santa Barbara-Cal Poly game the last time? We have UCSB and Cal Poly coming up here.
I saw it on TV.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah. Overtime.
And the intensity as far as the clock goes and the clock operators and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Being on that table there, did you feel for those guys?
Because the focus is on the 10 guys on the floor, and not even the three guys that are calling the game as officials. But when you draw that attention to the guys that aren't supposed to be having any attention, it's a big deal. And even when the coach, you know, we're sitting there, and I have the 32nd George Brett, the guy that runs the 32nd.
George Brett, I also know. Cayucas guy,
and
I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Calero will give him a glare every now and then, and George is going, hey, wait a minute, I'm right, and you're wrong.
He wears the fisherman cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a good man on that.
Absolutely.
He does a good job. He works at Cuesta, and he's kind of my wingman, because, as you know, you see a lot, or you hear a lot, every timeout there's something going on. Media timeout, where there's promotions, you have to introduce someone here and there, and then you might have five guys sitting at the scorer's table waiting to come in. So, boom, those guys scatter back to their benches. And then George, he writes everything down. So he'll ask me, did you get so-and-so, so-and-so? And then sometimes I'll say yes. Other times I said, no, I have no idea. So he really he really helps me out.
He helps you out. That's good.
And so it's nice to have a guy like that.
And in the soccer games, there's some serious substitutions going on, and those are like you got to announce every single one.
Yeah.
And I know whoever's the sports information person at that game will help you by writing all those out. But I mean that's something that that's hard to tell too, because once they're off and on, you don't know who used to be on and who used to be off.
With 22 guys on the field, good pair of binoculars helps too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I see them like when I see them warming up, and then they once they run to that center table and tell the guy that whoever we have down there with the bullhorn signaling when they come on, I'll look at them and I'll see their numbers and I'll get a little, I'll help myself out and write their names down.
Totally. Yeah.
Sure.
And a lot of the teams have the names on the backs of the jerseys, which also helps a little bit.
Yeah. And some of the, you know, they get more into the TV jerseys where there's numbers, like wherever, whatever angle they may be to you, you can kind of see who they are.
Which is nice.
And very nice.
How has doing PA changed the way that you like watch games on your own? I'm sure you watch sports on your own without being
absolutely.
On. And how has doing radio changed that as well? Those are two different things maybe, but has it changed the way you look at games, the way you watch games?
Well, I can visualize the emotional ebb and flow when I'm sitting in my lazy boy watching it on the big screen. I can see what's happening, and you don't always hear the public address announcer, but you can tell that there's a lot of activity going on and the game's getting really exciting, or a guy hits a big shot.
Right.
You hear it from the guys calling the game, but I can sit there and feel like I can tell that it's getting pretty exciting, and this is you know, maybe the cameras don't show all the emotion, but you can really feel it having been there.
Right. Do you ever see a team like sub four guys in and say to yourself, oh man, that PA guy's probably.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What I really feel for I don't know if they even do it in a hockey game with line changes.
Yeah.
Because that would drive me crazy.
There was a guy in San Diego when I was interning down there. His name is Chris Ello. And Chris used to do the San Diego Gulls on the radio, and it's Bob Miller for the Kings is a guy who I've always watched, and you know, to do play by play on TV or on the radio for hockey is just crazy. But Chris did the hockey games, and he's still on, I think, a radio station down there. But I just couldn't even imagine the play by play for hockey on the radio is just so intense and so quick, and every play by play. Probably provides their own, you know, level of difficulty. Baseball, because there's so much free time. Hockey is the opposite.
Baseball,
there's no free time.
Yeah, there's no free time in hockey, and to some extent, even basketball too, when it's just up and down.
Right.
But hockey is just you listen to that on the radio, and it's just that has got to be one of the toughest things to do.
Yeah, I always think about kind of some of the sports that aren't baseball or basketball or football, hockey, soccer, you know, different sports that take different. Different tacts, I guess.
Yep.
And it's interesting.
Yeah, hockey's a tough one. Now, a guy that I did color for Cal Poly for a couple of years when Cal Poly football was on KVEC.
Okay.
And I worked with a fella named Eddie Trent.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he had a nice little car. I think it was like a Saab or something, but he had the license plate that said Vox Poly on it, so Voice Poly.
Awesome.
So it was kind of neat, but his game was hockey.
Okay.
And I believe he went down and maybe worked for the Gulls for a little bit.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loved hockey, and he called a great football game too. It was fun.
Yeah. That's a tough sport, and certainly I feel like having an all sports radio station. I remember, so I interned at a sports radio station in San Diego for a couple of years in college in like 2002, 2003, I guess 2001, 2002, 2003, and then came back here. I moved away to Florida and Colorado, but I came back here at one point and I turned on my radio and I heard the ESPN radio and I thought to myself, oh, like this is cool.
Yeah.
Like we have an all sports radio station around here. That's a cool deal too.
It is really nice.
Yeah.
You know, cause they do ESPN what they do, even with high school, you know, they're doing the game of the week. So they're traveling around giving everyone exposure, which is really nice. Yeah. I really think that's a pretty good. I mean, it's nice to be aligned with one team.
Right.
Then you get the ins and outs of that team on a weekly basis. But if you bounce around and hit, I mean, everybody's getting a shot.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is nice.
And I know Mike Wozniak was one of the guys who was doing the games, and he knows a lot of those kids from the from the, like you were talking about, kids who are younger,
kids who are younger,
who've gone through camps and done things with three ball and all kinds of other things, and so he knows he knows like literally all the kids, no matter the school. It blew my mind. You know, he's calling play by play without a roster almost.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible.
No, he's a popular guy at the end of Cal Poly games. He always has a bunch of his kids coming up to say hello and greet him. It's nice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Does being the PA guy make it like hard to watch, to like go to a game and watch it, or like do you have to like change your mindset, I guess, or?
No, I think I probably have to watch losing my voice.
Okay.
Because I really love to cheer. Growing up, well, when I was living in San Francisco, I was 5 minutes from Candlestick Park, and I lived by myself, and you could always get a ticket. I was part of the smallest crowd in Candlestick Park history, and like a Wednesday businessman special against the Cardinals.
With the wind blowing around all the rappers like in the outfield.
The year, you know, Roger Craig, I think they lost 106 games. You could hear people talking in the bleachers. Yep. So I went to a lot of games, and you get a chance to really cheer, and I love being a fan.
Yeah.
So when I do get an opportunity to go to a game, I'm going to cut loose for a while, but I have to watch out.
You have to chill. I mean, you got a big voice, so it carries if you want it to, but it doesn't, I mean, nobody's voice lasts forever.
I was at a doubleheader against the Cubs, and this fan in front of me, I kept yelling at Ron Say. And this fan in front of me said, listen, I'm glad he's the only guy on that team you don't like. Because he was telling me his beer was shaking. His beer was reverberating because I was yelling so loud. Of course, that was the pre-PA day, so I don't know whether I cut loose like that now.
I love it. On the Fansmanship Podcast with Mike Moreno, Big Scoop, from Q104.5, from KZOZ, from Cal Poly Play, or Cal Poly PA. Who are your where are your sports allegiances when it comes to the major leagues?
When it comes to the major leagues, growing up, my dad brought my brother and I up to be Ram fans. We always we'd go to the Ram football clinics in the late '60s. Got a chance to meet all the greats: Jack Snow, Roman Gabriel.
Yeah,
and that was a lot of fun. But when I decided to make my own decisions, I really liked John Brody for the 49ers. Okay. I really liked that team. They weren't the greatest team, but I like John Brody, so I gravitated to the 49ers.
That's kind of like moving from the Dodgers to the Giants back then. I mean, that was a big rivalry for a long time.
Sure. And my brother gravitated toward the Minnesota Vikings. He liked Carl Eller, Sammy White, Fran Tarkenton. He liked all those guys. So so we each had our own little jerseys. I love the 49ers. And I'd always, the first baseball game I ever went to was a Giants game in 1968 at Candlestick.
Okay.
So right there, I love the Giants.
Giants
so.
And of course, the World Series trophy is in town tonight and tomorrow, and you're going to try to get there.
I'm going to try to get out there, and if not tonight, tomorrow for sure.
I went there a couple years ago, down to Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
And this guy with a Giants hat came up to me. I had my Dodgers hat on. I was taking pictures. It was right when we started our website. Uh-huh. So, you know, I'm just trying to kind of get reaction and like talk to different people. I want to know whether San Luis County is a Dodger County or a Giants County. It's kind of the demilitarized zone when it comes to the Dodgers and Giants, I feel like. There's a good mix of both.
There is.
And so I had different answers from different people. It was great. One guy came up to me, though. He goes, dude, you're going to get shot with that hat on. And I thought to myself, you must not be from here. Like, this is San Luis Obispo. I don't think, I don't think I'm in like physical danger here.
Yeah, I'm all
right. Like, I'm going to be okay. But like, what do you think? Dodgers town or Giants town? Or has it changed over the years?
I think it's a Giants town.
You do?
I want to say San Luis is a Giants town.
How about the county?
The county? There's a lot of Dodger fans in the South County.
Right?
There is. I mean, this is
the line of demarcation.
Yeah. Because you go to Santa Maria, there's a lot of Dodger fans. Yeah. And then south of there, but you start heading up north, I think if this were to become a true Giants county, you'd start getting all the little promotional gimmicks that they throw out to the fast food restaurants. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I drove to a Carl's Jr. in King City to get the giant bobblehead set.
Because that was as low as it
was
going.
That's as far south as it went. So I had to drive up there to get it, and I got picked up 2 complete sets and then left.
And I think technically, since we've always been a Los Angeles media market, getting stations like KTLA and KCAL, I think technically we're in the Dodgers, which is why it's also weird that the Giants bring their trophy to San Luis County and Santa Maria. It's all, you know, it feels kind of like an invasion to me as a Dodger fan. I don't know. But I know there are a lot of Giants fans. The last time, the line was down multiple blocks down the street to try to get your picture taken with the trophy.
Yeah.
And you know, if the Dodgers ever won, I kind of think that they probably wouldn't come up here because there's so many different places in LA that you would want to show it off. And going north of Santa Barbara, they just really don't have to with all the people they have in that area.
No, I could probably spend a lot of time and be very welcome.
And be fine.
Not even leave that area.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know, as far as the trophy goes, I went to the victory parades in 2010, and I went to the most recent one.
Okay.
And boy, if there's another one, I'll go to that again. So I sort of seen the trophy. I didn't get an opportunity to take a picture with it though, but I saw Boch holding it up in his convertible and driving down Market Street. So that was kind of nice.
How long have you been doing Cal Poly football?
Cal Poly football started in 95 or 96.
Got it. So we're talking like almost 20 years here.
Yeah.
16, 17, 18 or something. Who's the most fun football player at Cal Poly that you've ever watched?
Some of the guys that I really... Chris Gokong was really cool.
Yeah.
Really fun guy. And back when Randy Scovel was doing the games on KCAL, he would ask me to go down and do some on-field interviews once my PA duties were done. So I would always go down and grab Chris and then talk to him. And even on senior day was really nice to talk with all those guys. Chris was a great guy. Kyle Shotwell was great. Ramses Barden was a kick to talk to.
They were
nice. They were good guys. And Jonathan Daly, because I sort of have a history with him, watching him as a high schooler with Rigetti.
Okay.
And Ryan Mole.
That's right. Daly was those kind of a guys, local, huh?
They were teammates on Rigetti.
Yeah.
And then they transferred back to Cal Poly, and it was really cool talking to those guys because you kind of rehash some old memories. But
got it. And as far as like watching them, it matters to that you know somebody. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like at Cal Poly that's kind of something that they try to do, or that especially over the last few years have kind of tried to put faces out in the community and do a lot more?
Yeah, I think the marketing angle has really put the individual players or some of the marquee players that you're liable to hear about more up front. I drive down the grade almost every day, and I'm looking at David Hanson on a billboard.
On the French Hospital billboard,
And, you know, they had Ramses on during the football season, and now they got David Hanson.
I saw David at the UCSB game. He flew in for the game, and he's living in Minnesota and doing really well. Yeah, he was...
I'd love to see David.
I was like, who's that tall guy? Oh, it's David Hanson.
And his brother, Matt.
Okay.
Matt was great. He and I went fishing a few times.
Really?
And, yeah.
Cool.
We went fishing one time at the Cal Poly... We visited the Cal Poly ponds up there by the athletic field. And, you know, I usually fish with waders, but I didn't have waders, and I wasn't about to step into this pond. Matt walked in up to his chest, and just in this mucky water, he was just wearing shorts, and he was fishing. It was pretty funny.
Were you fly fishing?
No, we weren't fly fishing. I was fly fishing. Matt wasn't.
Okay.
And, oh, my gosh, that was hilarious.
That's awesome.
He just walked right in.
How about basketball-wise? Who's the most fun basketball player to watch? I have one in my mind.
Right now?
Or just in the time you've been doing it?
The time I've been doing it? Well, Wozniak was great to watch because he would bomb them from three.
Yeah, there was no conscience.
Yeah, yeah.
With that whole team, him and Larson.
Yeah.
There was no conscience back then.
Yeah. Well, I like Mike Tichenor. You know, a guy that just like a workmanlike guy that would just come off the bench and he knew his role. And but boy, he delivered. He was a great player. But, you know, if you go to the current crop of guys, Chris Eversley's a cool guy.
He is.
Because he comes into the softball press box. And we always have a guest announcer, a guest youth announcer. So it's supposed to be a little kid.
So you do softball as well? Okay.
And so Chris would pop in, and we'd say, Chris, all right, you're going to be the youth announcer. He was excited. He's ready to go. And then he tells us about this thing he wants to market called Vitamin CE. And Chris Giovanetti and I laugh about it. It's all the vitamin C. It's a lifetime's worth of vitamin C and vitamin E in one little capsule. And we vision him busting through a wall like the Kool-Aid guy. Kicking it through there and then holding out those little bottles of vitamin C, E, get some.
Yeah, Eversley's great.
And he embraces that. And, and I kind of turned Jeff and Jeremy onto that little nickname. And they were using that the other day. They used vitamin C, E. It was great.
What else is, you know, he's fun-loving, but he's also super mature. Like, after tough losses, you know, he sits there and he, you know, at the age of 20 or 21 or whatever, I couldn't have said, you know, I could...
He'll take the questions.
He'll take the questions and I'll say, you know what? like, it hurts now, but we're going to use it to get better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, he'll turn it around. Like, pros probably should. Like, I feel like some guys should watch, like, Chris Eversley deal with people after a loss, because he's got it in perspective, and not a lot of people have it in perspective. I know at the age of 20, I used to throw a fit after I lost an intramural game, not, you know, let alone a real big Division I college game. Holy cow. And I, you know, in front of 3,000 people, and somebody sinks a shot at the buzzer, and it's like, you know, what are you going to do?
He is so emotional out there. You saw him against
on the
Davis.
Court, absolutely.
He's hitting a couple of threes, and he's running down the floor.
Pumping his fist.
Yeah. He's almost reminded me, and these guys are completely opposite, I'm sure, but like Dennis Rodman. Uh-huh. He's like pump his fist after doing some menial thing on the defensive end. Yeah. But Eversley is genuine. You know,
he
just hit a huge shot, and he's trying to pump that crowd up.
And it's not I wrote about this, when Cal Poly guys, at least the basketball team this year especially, they make a good play, they don't have I'm mad and serious and pumped look on their face. They're smiling and laughing and expressing joy, as opposed to expressing kind of intensity.
Yeah.
They save their intensity for actually when the play is going on. Mm-hmm. Other teams make a shot and they have a grimace on their face, looking tough.
Sure.
You know, and maybe that's a home road thing. Maybe I just haven't seen them on the road as much.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's something that if Cal Poly basketball, it's the direction they're going, if they're going to win, they have to, like, find a way to have that joy away from Mott Gym.
They get happy, and it's like they're maybe running down the floor going, boy, that's just the way they drew it up on the chalkboard.
Right.
It worked.
Well, right. And they're taking joy in the game, and it's, you don't see that as much as you think you would. You know what I mean? As far as, like, when guys make good plays, it's a tough guy face and a chest bump or something. You know, Cal Poly's more of a, like, this is great. Like, you know, just a happy look on their face. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference there as far as how mature you are, how you respond to adversity and so forth. And I think that's something that I've definitely noticed this year.
Yeah, it's exciting right now, getting to the court. I get there way early and watch the guys warm up, chit-chat with a few of them. And God, they're just a great bunch of guys.
How about basketball? Are you a Lakers fan?
Lakers fan, yeah.
Okay, I know you say Santa Barbara equals Lakers fan, I think.
Well, you know, when I was going to Santa Barbara City College, the Lakers used to warm up. They used to practice there.
They had their training camp at Santa Barbara before they went to Honolulu.
So, and Bill Burtka, assistant coach.
Long time assistant coach.
I went to school with his kids, and my dad knew him well. My dad had a clothing store in Santa Barbara.
He was an assistant for Pat Riley and Mike Dunleavy and Randy Fund, all those coaches who are the Lakers coaches.
Yeah, and he had a show called Sports with Burtka. Back in Santa Barbara, Channel 3, and it was really cool. It was just a locally produced show, and I really enjoyed it. Sunday afternoons, you get that, then you watch Wild Kingdom or something.
Yeah, for sure.
It was great.
I love it. So I guess Jerry Buss is back in the hospital. What do you make of the Lakers this year?
Well, they're almost the Dwight Howard thing. I don't know if that's working out or not. The Lakers kind of went the way the Dodgers did. When they acquired all those players at the trade deadline, those guys could not. They're individually, they're world beaters, but together, collectively, they couldn't beat a high school team. They just had no chemistry.
Yeah, the Lakers definitely don't have chemistry this year. I think what's different about basketball and baseball is that in baseball, you know, it's such a long season, and the trade deadline's what, a month and a half before the end of the season.
Sure.
So how much impact is a guy really going to have in a month and a half? I think you're going to be able to judge the Dodgers' trades and their signings for a whole season this year.
If
at the end of this year they still look as crappy as they did at the end of last year, then okay, like I'll start getting mad about it. But the fact that we're spending money at all is like a, you know, it's a happy change for us Dodger fans.
You've got Magic Johnson.
Well, and the Guggenheim money is just ridiculous. And I made a joke, you know, they're making up for all the time that they didn't spend money now.
Yeah.
Spending it all. I mean,
I like to see them play and be competitive. And I've told a bunch of my Dodger fan friends that if those guys could play together and play really well, I mean, you got to look out for the Dodgers because they got some talent that they acquired.
And if they have an offseason together. And they have a pitcher now.
And then you look at my Giants, you know, they get Hunter Pence, you know, one guy.
And they lost a couple of other guys. Although, you know, I feel like sometimes your loss is our loss and your gain when you lose guys like Juan Uribe and we sign him to a long-term contract. There's a really great website. It's called...
But we have Romo.
There's a really great website.
I shouldn't use we.
It's called emo1youribe.com.
Yeah.
And it has Juan sitting out in the outfield up against the fence with this super emo, you know, kind of like the world is, you know, the world is weighing me down look on his face, and has a bunch of negative Juan Uribe facts. Like,
yeah.
You know, he hit 083 for a couple months last season. It was 83 points higher than Don Mattingly expected.
Yeah.
You know, funny stuff.
Oh, shit.
Funny stuff like that. So that's a fun website to look at. But yeah, I mean, I really have high hopes for the Dodgers. I'll be out of spring training actually
a
while at the end of March.
Very good.
For a long weekend. So that should be a good time. Big Scoop, I know you got to go and do some radio stuff. I know you want to see the World Series trophy. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. My pleasure.
Yeah,
it's absolutely been a blast.
Yeah, likewise.
And it's one thing if you're rooting for your baseball team, once the season's over and the first thing that comes to your mind, well, pitchers and catchers report at the end of February.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
they've been saying that in Dodger Town for a while.
And I looked up the beginning of this week, and it was like they're reporting tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think they report on like the 10th or the 9th or something, maybe on Monday.
Yeah.
But they're there now.
Oh, there's a bunch of Giants already there.
They're all there in Scottsdale and Glendale and wherever else.
Yeah.
They're throwing, they're catching. You can picture, you know, the Cal Poly batting cage looks awesome, the new one. But you can picture like, you know, 15 of those in these complexes that are just, you know, incredible. I mean, I can smell the grass. I can hear the balls in the mitts, and it's gonna be fun. The beginning of baseball season for me is the most fun. It's the happiest outlook on anything all year, because it's going to be a long season, but you know, whatever season, you know, it's 162 games, it's a long season, but the beginning of it, everybody's kind of fresh, everybody's doing what they need to be doing. I love baseball season.
And no matter how good or bad, everyone survives April.
Yeah.
Just so,
right.
You know, the first month is down.
Who's the new player hitting really well in spring? I love that kind of talk and, you know, fantasy drafts and everything else around it. It's it's great times. Mike, I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Let's do it again, Owen.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat